Welcome back, everyone, to Box Box Podcast. Welcome back. I wonder if there's like another thing that we can open it with.
No.
No. Don't do that. Definitely not. I was trying to think of like something off the top of my head. But yeah, anyway. Hello. we're back. We've got Imola this week. We obviously didn't have a race this week.
What an intro.
No, great, huh? But before we get started, do make sure you check out Box Box Club. The link to download is down here somewhere if you're watching. If you're listening, it will be in the description. Also, we do offer an exclusive 30% discount that you can use using our link or code BoxBoxPod30. So you can get the Ultra for a discounted price. But you can try the app out absolutely free. And I say try it out, like it's free forever unless you want the extra features. So definitely check that out. We are Box Box Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Just search Box Box Pod Clips. Box Box. Box Box Pod on Instagram and Box Box Clips on Twitter. TikTok. Fuck.
Don't worry, guys. By the end of the year, you might get that right.
It's because they're all different names. That's what confuses me. But yeah, we post daily. We do also post like additional stuff that you don't see on the podcast, so do join us there. And if you are listening to us, or wherever you are listening to us, do give us a 5-star rating, because that really does make a big difference to the podcast, and we appreciate it massively. If you're watching us on YouTube, once you get to the end of this video, and if you've enjoyed it, give us a big thumbs up. Subscribe if you are new, and any points that we make throughout that you agree or disagree with, feel free. It's like a lisp on like,
do you know what the funny thing is, last week we did it at 8 a.m. You gave me a bit of stick, you know, oh, it's early,
you were slow.
Making a mistake. Yeah, I'm not being funny. It is now 20 past 12.
I'm not slow. I've just got some sort of like newborn speech impediment that has started to infiltrate my brain. But yeah, we're going to crack on with the show now. And Matt's going to bring this in.
All right, guys. Well, it's race week, so welcome along. Firstly, before we get started, there's two things I want to discuss, all right? So, serious question. Do you work for Sky F1?
Ugh.
Because,
interestingly,
there's been a few... We posted a clip this week about Lando Norris. You said he is the faster driver, and actually your money would still be on the faster driver winning the championship. Yep.
I'm not being funny, right? And I mean no disrespect here. I do a little bit. But Danica Patrick works for Sky Sports F1, so... what's the threshold here?
Yeah, but some people say you're on the same level as Paul DiResta.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not great.
One of the comments was, Norris will never, ever win a world championship. Lando is just another Brit that's been talked up by Sky.
Oh, right. This is interesting, right? Because if you've been commenting stuff like that, thinking I'm some sort of Lando fanboy, you must be stupid. Because I'm actually the complete opposite. Like... That's impressive, because, you know, it shows that they have less knowledge than I do, because I have never advocated for Lando winning. It's certainly not something that I want to happen. I'd actually much rather Lewis Hamilton win a championship or Charles Leclerc win a championship. And if you listen to the podcast last year, there are actually parts of the season towards the end where I was saying, to be honest, I hope Max wins it. If you think I can't sit here and speak impartially about Britain because we're born on the same rock, then you must have hit your head on a rock, because it makes no difference to me. I've openly said that I've always tended to support the Brits, but I've also said that I don't know who I'm going to support when Lewis leaves. I've openly said that I'm not a massive fan of Lando. I could argue that I'd probably rather Oscar win it, to be honest, but I think what I said about Lando factually being quicker than Oscar on his day is true.
But as Stuart Martin 1989 has asked,
oh, that's my
do
brother.
You work for Sky?
I don't even understand what that means. What does it mean? Do I work for Sky? Yes, that's why I'm sitting in my office doing a podcast to you. Like, no, I don't work for Sky, cretin. Actually, some of the comments are impressive. Like, there was always that guy that commented, Oh, are you former race car drivers?
We haven't heard. Actually, are you okay? Because we haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, where is our biggest hater?
Yeah.
But also, like...
we miss you.
Was that... was that supposed to be funny? Was it Banner or was he trying to upset us? No, we're not former race car drivers.
The funny thing about it is, I love the comments. That comment, and especially that clip, if you got to listen to the whole podcast to actually get the full context. Because
naturally,
I've said Oscar Piastri will win the championship. So our opinions are a bit different on that. I understand your ones. You disagree with my ones. But...
No, I actually agree with a lot of what you say. I stand by the fact that I believe Lando is the quicker driver.
Which...
On pure pace.
Which I also get from where you're coming from.
I've also openly said that doesn't just doesn't win you championships.
No.
But it's too early on for me to concede that point.
I'm glad we've squashed this. Luke does not work for Sky F1. If you did, that'd be decent.
I'll tell you what, though, that guy should get a fucking job. Loser.
Second thing before we get into it as well. Did I tell you I've signed up for a marathon in November?
Oh, not this again.
That's a good reaction. Right, let's get in some news, shall we? Juan Pablo Montoya, your favourite F1 driver.
Yeah, but it's not one, it's Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo Montoya.
Juan Pablo. Okay. It's not like a singular.
Montoya has said he wouldn't be surprised to see Liam Lawson dropped by RBs mid-season, having already suffered a demotion from Red Bull. Obviously, we discussed this briefly last week. Mm. Do we think that we'd have a seat for the next year? So he said, I'll tell you the truth. If Liam doesn't improve any further, I wouldn't be surprised if the RBs drop him and put Arvid Lindblad in at some point. He's the F2 driver for Compos at the moment. Currently P6 in the championship. Having an all right start to the year. He's a Red Bull development driver.
That's nonsense. Like, they won't get rid of Liam Lawson. Look, right, firstly, you have to put yourself in his shoes. He got promoted to Red Bull, lost his seat after two races, and is now having to carry on the season at a different team. I think you have to cut him some slack for the sort of mental journey that he's going through at the moment. And I know we said, like, F1 is a ruthless sport, but it is less ruthless when you're in these teams, particularly when you're part of that driver development program.
Yeah.
Until you get to Red Bull, then it's absolutely brutal, right? But that's fine. You know, we disagreed with how they handled the whole Liam Lawson thing. But he's not going to get dropped by them because he's not performing that bad. They kept Checo in a seat for a whole season.
Yeah.
That ended up costing them not one place in the constructors, but two places in the constructors, right? If they're going to drop Liam Lawson mid-season because he's being outperformed by a very good driver in Isaac Hadjar, but he's not dropping stinkers every week. I don't think Liam Lawson is, you know, he's not someone that is like comparable to Latifi.
Yeah, I think with Liam Lawson, when, as we said, it was a brutal way to lose your seat, especially after, you know, the whole excitement of getting to Red Bull,
yeah,
being dropped after two races. The issue is, and we touched on this last week, I still think there's a real threat that he will not have a seat for 2026. Do I think that he will be dropped mid-season? No, I think he'll be given the full season to try and prove himself.
That I don't necessarily disagree with. I don't think he's dead set to have a seat next season.
Yeah.
Because, again, it is still the Red Bull development program, right? And we have said before, he's probably almost definitely ruined that, you know. He's never going to race for Red Bull again, I think, is what I'm trying to say. So if they have got someone in the ranks that they're like, look, he's performing great. Liam Lawson is not setting the world alight here. Isaac Hadjar is, you know, continuously quicker than him. Let's just, you know, cut this here. And I would understand that.
The only way I can see it happening is, you know, you get to the summer break, Lawson's being outperformed by Isaac Hadjar week in, week out, dropping, you know, like, not picking up points.
He needs to be outperformed by like a long way.
Yes. But then my only thing that I could see that him being changed after summer break is if they decide to bring in someone from like F2 from their Red Bull development program and go, do you know what, let's get him in for a few races in preparation for 2026. But I still think that's a bit far-fetched to do that.
And I don't think they've got anyone that is close enough to, you know, where that is warranted.
I think it's always difficult, isn't it? Because I don't think anyone expected Isaac Hadjar to come in and perform so well.
No.
Considering, you know, he finished P2 in the F2 championship last year. He went to the title fight right to the end of the year. And for him now to come in and perform really well, there must be some sort of, you know, thinking behind that. You know, if he's done well, we potentially could get this other guy from F2 in, and he could perform at the same level as Isaac Hadjar if Liam Lawson isn't doing it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I still personally don't think, if Liam Lawson goes on this path that he's on at the moment, I can't see him getting a seat in 2026 with RB. But it'd be interesting to see as we go along. You know, we're getting close to silly season, you know.
Yeah, it's... If he were to lose his seat mid-season, he would be the first driver ever, surely, to lose a seat twice in a season.
Yeah, I'll double-check that for next week. But it'd be pretty brutal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's no coming back from that.
No.
But look, in my opinion, I'll state it here. It will not happen.
Do let us know. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. So, Sergio Perez has apparently held advanced talks with Cadillac, but also other teams such as Alpine and Mercedes have had interest in having the services of the Mexican for the 2026 season.
What? What?
Alpine
make
and
the tea?
Yeah. Alpine and Cadillac, I can understand. Mercedes is a bit of a weird one. I can't see... That doesn't make much sense to me.
I don't know, man. I know people really... I know Checo's got some really devoted fans, right? And I fully respect that, but... I always praised Checo. I think he had a great career. But that drop-off at the end of his career was insane. Now, you can say that it's the Red Bull second seat curse. I haven't seen Checo race in another car, so I can't confirm or deny that. I think personally, even if I was Cadillac, would I want Checo? Look, he's a very experienced driver. We know he brings a boatload of sponsorship. He brings a truckload of fans. But is he the man that I see taking the team, you know, kickstarting the team? I don't know. I don't know if it's very ambitious for me. That's all. I think look, if it was 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, and you were saying, oh, a new team's coming in, they're looking at Checo Perez, I'd be like, yeah, makes sense. Very solid driver.
The only way I see Perez making sense for Cadillac is having that driver who has been around the sport for a long time, has that experience to settle a team into the sport, because for Cadillac, it is going to be a whole new experience for them.
Yeah.
They've never done that before. So having a driver who can come in, give that a bit of stability, I don't see it being a bad move if it was Sergio Perez. Same as what we said, Bottas.
So what about Alpine then?
What, with regards to
Perez? Yeah.
That doesn't make much sense to me, because I actually think the pairing they've got now in Gasly and Colapinto is more exciting and I think actually has more progress. But I'm specifically just talking about actually Cadillac coming in as a brand new team and having that sort of driver with that experience.
And
he's a race winner.
And I do get it. I do. But I think, do these teams not need to take a little bit more of a punt? Because I say, like, take a gamble. In my opinion, Perez is a gamble. He obviously is no spring chicken. He did tail off towards the end of his career, and granted, his career may still be up and running. And he may come back and be really good.
I think what is unknown actually is how Perez will do in a different team, because there was a lot of speculation that Sergio Perez had fallen off a cliff. He was awful, wasn't performing because of him. Well, actually, that could have simply been, and we've seen that with Liam Lawson, it could have been specifically just the car and the setup. I'm not saying I truly believe that, but I'm just trying to be devil's advocate here. So actually, for Sergio Perez to come in, we know he's a good driver on his day.
But this is my point where I say it's a gamble.
It is, yeah.
I think Checo is as much as a gamble as a young driver is at this point. The only security you get is that he is experienced. But, you know, right now, would you rather Colapinto in your seat or Sergio Perez?
What, if I'm Cadillac?
Yeah.
I'd love to say Colapinto.
It's got to be Colapinto. Mm. You have to take the punt on the young driver, in my opinion.
But I do believe for any team, especially a new team like Cadillac coming in, you need to have an experienced driver to lead that forward. And actually, whether that's a Bottas or a Perez or a Hülkenberg or whoever, having that type of experience is key to any team.
Yeah, but someone like a Hülkenberg, I think, makes more sense because he hasn't had that drop-off.
Yeah, but again,
what we saw was Sergio Perez in a title-winning car barely make it out of Q1.
But I think Sergio Perez has done enough in the sport to deserve another opportunity to finally show whether it was specifically just a Red Bull car that he just couldn't drive and it was just undrivable, or he can come in and prove himself, or is it the fact that actually Sergio Perez is completely gone?
I'm not going to sit here and say that Perez would be the worst choice, right? You could get 100 worse drivers in that seat.
Latifi.
Yeah.
So, okay, who do you pick?
But there was also, I saw rumours of Mick Schumacher. Is this true, or is this just bullshit?
I haven't seen that.
Maybe I've been absolutely clickbaited there, but...
But Mick Schumacher will be used... Obviously, do you mean Pato as well?
Pato Award.
He was discussed that. Apparently, he had been having talks, and he was just, you know, having a laugh with the media, saying, yeah, I've been in talks with Cadillac. He'd never been in talks with Cadillac.
No, I didn't see that, but... I can't imagine Mick Schumacher would be playing games at this point. He hasn't got a job. But I know he races in another series, but whatever. But yeah, look, the Checo one is... I get it. I just think, for me, it's not ambitious enough.
Mm. Do let us know. Sergio Perez, where would he go? Alpine, I can't see him going to Alpine. I think, realistically, Colapinto will do enough to...
Colapinto is, in my opinion, not going to have a problem there.
No. And then obviously Gasly as well. Mercedes is just a weird one being linked to. I mean...
What are you going to do? Kick Kimi Antonelli out? Or are you replacing Bottas?
Well, what it says here is, as with Mercedes, in the case of the German firm, a driver move is needed, specifically the departure of George Russell. I'm sorry, if he departs. Toto.
Wait. So if George Russell leaves, they're going to take Sergio Perez.
Well, apparently Toto Wolff has shown sympathy in the past for Perez, highlighting his work and development, but also his loyal teammate. Look, I think personally the Mercedes bit is a bit of a joke, and I can't see that happening in the slightest.
That sounds like they needed to hit word count.
Well, I mean...
They just made it up.
Look, this, I'm not making this up in the slightest. Where does it say? Yeah. Look, and that's what it says there. I'm not lying about it. But do let us know, who do you think Cadillac should sign? Right. Alpine. Let's talk Alpine. Last time we did a podcast, a lot has changed in the last week.
It's been a bit of a crazy week for them. I mean, are they criminals?
So, let's break it down. Oliver Oakes, was it last Monday, I think, was it? Oliver Oakes announced that he was resigning as team principal from Alpine. It was then stated that Briatore would take over responsibilities, and you're kind of thinking, okay, this is a bit weird. The next morning, no later than 12 hours later, that made no sense, Jack Doohan was replaced by Franco Colapinto.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Apparently, Briatore is also Jack Doohan's manager.
I don't know. Is that true? Because
we got told this by a friend who's in the industry. I don't know if it's true or not. If someone can... How the hell would you have that conversation? Does he, like... Firstly, he's there. sitting at the table, got his Alpine cap on. He's like, sorry, boss, it's not looking good. We're going to have to let you go. And they have this conversation. Then it's over, right? He's like, I'll catch you later. Takes his cap off, puts his little Jack Doohan cap on. I'm really sorry to hear about that, mate. I got told about it earlier. Oh, how do you deal with that? Like, how does he console him?
If it's true, perfectly honest, from what we see from Briatore, I don't think there'd be much sympathy.
No.
I can't see it. But initially, when Oakes was announced that he was leaving, my initial reaction was, okay, Jack Doohan looks like he's going. Perhaps this is a fact that he's had a falling out with Briatore, that actually he doesn't want Jack Doohan, he's not agreeing with it. That was my initial reaction to it. However, reports have come out recently that actually his young brother, was arrested on May the 1st and charged with transferring criminal property.
Well, he was caught leaving with like a bucket load of cash from Silverstone, was it?
Yep. Yeah. So it's interesting because the Oakes brothers are co-directors of High Tech Grand Prix, which fields cars in Formula 2 and Formula 3 and junior categories. High Tech Grand Prix and holding company High Tech Global Holdings are both registered in Silverstone Park, which is where his brother was found and arrested. There's obviously a lot more to this because Oliver Oakes, whether he knew that this was happening and he was kind of just, he obviously did, just resigned on his own accord. But it's also talks that Oliver Oakes is involved in it, which, again, we haven't heard.
Well, but you know that also the big thing about this is that they're involved with the Mazepin family. Have you not seen that?
I haven't seen that part.
So they took over directorship of, I can't remember the name of Mazepin's dad, but let's say Mazepin Senior's company, obviously, because the Mazepins were sanctioned by the UK government when Russia invaded Ukraine. And allegedly, this is all tied to that. So it's all a money laundering thing, essentially.
It's just mad.
It's absolutely crazy, but we do love a scandal. Well, but there are like rumours suggesting that Oliver Oakes has just like fled to Dubai or something.
Yeah.
So it's like,
we haven't heard from him since obviously it was announced that he was leaving.
Because straight after he left Alpine, there was rumours saying that he was going to replace Christian Horner.
Yeah, I saw that he was linked to Red Bull. No. And I was just like, don't think that's obviously not the case now.
He's going to prison.
But this out, you know, we've said before, Alpine are in a very, very bad way. You know, we saw that last year when the divide between Ocon and Gasly and Ocon being dropped, being told that he won't have a contract at the end of the season. You know, you've seen Oscar Piastri in the past, which again, I've seen that circulating of kind of under, I was not aware that I was being given a seat and I will not be racing for Alpine next year. They've had so much drama.
What an absolute godsend for Oscar Piastri.
Well, the mad thing is the stats is actually Oscar Piastri has scored more points than Alpine have in the last, since 2021.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
No. But Alpine are in a very, very bad place at the moment. And, you know, and my initial reaction was thinking, oh, there's obviously a massive divide between Briatore and Oakes. That's why he's left. But obviously a lot more has come from that.
Yeah, so I then thought, oh, he must have left because he actually didn't want Doohan to leave.
That's what my thoughts were, yeah. And then to then come out and, you know, because it was so close together, I was kind of like, well, Oakes must have been really annoyed that actually he wants to give Doohan a bit more time.
Yeah.
And Briatore was saying no. But then Briatore came out and said, no, actually, our relationship has always been very good, but we respected that he needed to leave, so we've accepted his resignation. So there's a lot of...
Yeah, well, obviously he's been doing something dodgy.
Yeah. A lot of turmoil in Alpine at the moment. But obviously with Jack Doohan, let's talk about Jack Doohan. And look, we always knew when Colapinto signed as a reserve driver, it was always going to be very difficult for him to keep his seat for a long term. The difficulty is, you know, Colapinto has now come in, but even Colapinto is under pressure because he's got apparently 5 races to prove himself.
This whole thing is crazy. It's so crazy. How can you give people such little time? I just think, like, also, if you've got a driver coming in, do you not want to fill them with belief and be like, look, we trust you, we back you, go keep it quiet have stipulations in the contract. Don't make this shit public.
Yeah.
I think also, you know, it's difficult for these drivers, especially when you're someone like Colapinto, but you shouldn't be able to have these provisions in contracts where it's like, oh, we'll give you 5 races. It's like, since when has that been enough?
The contrast between a team like RB, who nurture their drivers and give them the stability that they need, compared to a team like Alpine is phenomenal. I mean, the thing is, for Jack Doohan, apparently his team had been told that he was going to lose his seat after Miami. Jack Doohan was only told after Miami, which I can understand. And you can probably... I think.
Wait, was he going to lose his seat regardless?
From what reports are saying, that actually the Jack Doohan camp had been told that actually once this race is done, he will be losing his seat. But for the team, they didn't want to let Jack Doohan know that ahead of the Miami Grand Prix. The difficulty is, you could see at the Miami Grand Prix how Jack Doohan was very
frustrated,
heated in his responses, is frustrated. And I truly believe that he kind of knew it was incoming.
Yeah.
But Jack Doohan's father, and I don't know if you've seen this, I did put it in, I think I put it in chat, didn't I? So Jack Doohan's father came out and he posted something on his Instagram saying, Pierre Gasly's results are 11th, 11th, 13th, 7th, and a DNF, and 13th. And Doohan's results are DNF, 13th, 15th, 14th, 17th, DNF. Gasly 7 points, Doohan 0 points. Look, Pierre Gasly hasn't set the world alight, but I think Pierre Gasly has maximised what he can out of that car.
I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? It's because Doohan's performances haven't been good, great, whatever. But then, like you say, Gasly's haven't been amazing.
No.
But then you have to look at, okay, well, if the car is not that great, you know, those 7 points that Gasly's got are the difference between coming last and coming ninth.
Mm.
Or they could even be the difference between coming ninth and coming sixth.
Yeah.
Right? Eventually, I'm talking at the end of the season. Now, if they're at this point and they're like, there is just, we've looked at lap times and everything, there is no chance that Doohan is going to get us to, you know, because they need 2 drivers that are going to get them those 7 points. Because it'll make such a difference at the end of the season. And like, I do get it. I get why drivers are replaced. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm also saying that at the same time, you can't bring a rookie into the team and give them no time at all.
The mad thing for Doohan...
If you're going into a team like that, right? Like, if you're being brought into a Mercedes, a McLaren, a Ferrari, it's different. To an extent, I still don't think they should be that ruthless.
Mm.
They should be given at least half a season. And if it costs a team, yeah, that's on the team. They should have been more prepared with who they were going to bring in as a driver.
They should never have put Doohan in a seat in the first place if they had the intention of bringing in Van Kirk. The way I see it is they brought in Doohan because they didn't really have any other option. They brought Doohan in thinking, okay, this will do us. We're fine. All of a sudden, Colapinto's not being kept by Williams. He was not going to be staying as a reserve driver. He becomes more available.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, okay. Yeah, we want Colapinto. We can't lose him. So... We said, didn't we, that we think it would have been harsh to drop Doohan before giving him a chance in the seat. The issue is for Jack Doohan, he was never going to keep that seat long term. Even if we're sitting here and Jack Doohan has got 5 points on the board, the plan was always to bring Colapinto in. It was never, it didn't matter how
they were never serious about him.
The mad thing about it for me, right, and this is where I feel really sorry for Jack Doohan, and I want to hear from you guys, because he's now been dropped to the first team reserve driver.
Mm-hmm.
If that was me, right?
So he still has to stick around.
He still has to stick around. So you've been given this seat. You've waited a while to get your seat. Okay, your dream. Perfect. I'm in the sport. You then get dropped. Oh, but do you mind staying as our reserve driver? I'd be going, do you know what? Stuff it. Have it. Actually, part of me is kind of like... Actually,
how much is he getting paid for this?
The money would probably keep me there. But in my mind, I'd be thinking, no, do you know what? Stuff your seat. If you don't want me as your first team driver, stuff it. I don't want to sit around as a reserve driver.
The thing is, it's difficult for him because he is someone that is never going to get an F1 seat again.
No, that's the sad thing about it. Yeah.
So, look, I don't agree with how these things are handled. I understand it's a business and a sport, and you're going to get half the audience saying like, yeah, it's really out of order. These people are human beings. And then you're going to get the other half saying, oh, this is like elite level sport, like that's what it is. But I think, I agree, it is elite level sport, but I also think that some things that are happening are just wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree. So Oscar Piastri has shared his support for Jack Doohan following the news that the Alpine driver has been dropped. I think, you know, as it's the end for Jack, he can be very proud of firstly making it to F1. It's not an easy thing, especially coming from Australia. There's a lot of hard decisions along the way. As he's had his final race, I think, you know, hold your head high. You've been an F1 driver. No one can take that away from you. And I think that's a very fair point from Oscar Piastri, because for Jack Doohan, your dream is to always get to the top of the pinnacle of motorsport, which is F1. And, you know, Jack Doohan held his time as a reserve driver, did well, got into the sport. And for the situation was never right for him, and it wasn't fair for him, and I stand by that. I think the way they've handled it is really poor for any youngster coming into the sport, but I have no doubt that he's done everything he can, and he should keep his head held high, because he can class himself, and he has been an F1 driver.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's done a shed load more in the sport than we have and ever will do.
Well, I've driven go-karts.
Same.
Yeah. So, just touching on Franco Colapinto. So,
when are we doing our go kart thing, by the way?
End of June.
June the
27th, 28th.
I'm away on the 28th.
I'll have a look in the chat, see what date it is.
We'll do the 27th.
Yeah. Let's touch real quickly on Franco Colapinto, because I know we've just said it, but Colapinto will be under pressure to deliver before his 5-race contract expires. So, apparently Alpine are actively exploring their options within the market. Look,
I'm not being funny. Who is better available than Colapinto at this point in time? Tell me.
I don't think, and I'm wondering if this goes back to, you know, reports that Sergio Perez is linked to Alpine as well, but I'd still pick Franco Colapinto over Sergio Perez.
Every single day.
Because you have your experienced driver in there in Pierre Gasly. So there's no point bringing Sergio Perez into that.
And look, I know I got in a bit of a fight with Colapinto fans earlier this year, or end of last year, I can't remember when.
Yeah, they hated you.
My point was is that I didn't think he had set the world alight like people were making out. But I still thought, like, once he irons out those mistakes, he's a quick driver.
Yeah.
And on his day, he's fast. He came in, he matched Alex Albon. Yeah, he had a few too many mistakes up his sleeve. Yeah, he's a very young driver. He was a rookie. Like, he's a great option for Alpine. And he's a driver that they can use in the long run. If they're able to keep hold of him, they're able to build a good team around him, provide him with a good car, then they'll have a really solid partnership. And that's why I hate, like, the idea of them, say, going for someone like Sergio Perez, because he's had his day, right? And that's not to say he's not still a very competent race driver, but, you know, Checo is at his ceiling, if not on his way back down from it. Colapinto is still working all the way up to it. So
I'm pretty confident Colapinto will do enough in the first 5 races to prove himself. But I think for Alpine, for their reputation, they need to get some stability within that team again.
Because at the same time, what is proving yourself?
Well,
if Pierre Gasly, all right, aside from sprint races, has only got points in one race, what is proving yourself? What does, if Colapinto finishes 10th in one race, has he proved himself?
I think being close to Pierre Gasly will be classed as proving yourself. We saw he went into Williams and he matched Alex Albon.
No, I agree.
I think for Colapinto, what he needs to do is pick up a few points where he can, get into Q2s, maybe Q3s, like Pierre Gasly has done, match Pierre Gasly, maybe like a 10th here and there. I don't think he needs to, like, beat him by, you know, 4 or 5 tenths, but I think he needs to do better than what Jack Doohan was, because sometimes Jack Doohan was like 4 or 5 tenths off Pierre Gasly. So I think for Colapinto, he needs to just come in, pick up those odd points here and there initially, just while he gets into the groove, and just get those, don't get those Q1 exits, get those Q2, get into Q3.
Yeah, yeah.
They're key, I think. Jack Doohan was always pretty much in Q1.
Yeah, and he's had a few dead lasts.
So I think for Colapinto, as long as he can get into those Q2, Q3s, I think that is a positive start for him.
Yeah.
I think he'll be all right and doesn't crash.
And try and stay out the wall this time, Franco.
And maybe turn off your DRS when you need to.
Unlike Jack Doohan.
Yep. Do let us know what your thoughts are. Right. Toto Wolff believes that the magic for Lewis Hamilton is still there amid some struggles for the seven-time world champion during the first few races at Ferrari. So as we know, Lewis Hamilton, it's been a bit tough for Ferrari, but actually I think it's been quite tough for Ferrari in general the start of this year. But Toto Wolff was asked about it and he said, I think we saw that magic in the sprint race in China. He was completely dominating that race. It's not like you have the magic in one race and then suddenly you lose the magic in the next one. I very much believe that it's still there. And obviously, you know, for Toto Wolff, he knows Lewis very well. And we've said before, haven't we, that Lewis looks like he's struggling. But from what we saw in China, he must still have something there. And whether this car is so difficult to drive, and we've seen that with Charles Leclerc as well.
I do think it's a big part of it is down to the car. And I know a lot of people are going to cite the time difference between Charles and Lewis, but I think if you gave them both a very good car, I don't think Lewis would wipe the floor with Charles. I also don't think it'd be the other way around. I think you'd have two very capable drivers that would go on to compete for a world championship. You need the car underneath them. Look, we know that Lewis has not got along with this era of cars. There's no point sitting here saying he has, because it's just a lie. But I do think, say he was in the McLaren right now, we wouldn't be saying, oh, Lewis Hamilton is struggling.
Mm. No, I think, yeah, Lewis, we expected as Lewis fans more from him this year, currently, but actually,
we also expected more from Ferrari, though.
Yeah, no, and this is what I was going to say, actually, in general, Leclerc, Ferrari as a whole, have been very poor
and
this year.
In terms of points, Lewis and Charles are not light years apart.
No. So I agree with Toto in the sense of I still think Lewis has it, mm-hmm. but he needs to have the right car run to him.
Yeah.
And I do believe that actually this era of cars have been, it's been a massive struggle for Lewis.
They've been a bit of a, it's like they've brought them into nerfing. You know, it's like he was too good, too quick. Let's give him some, and I know it's not a conspiracy, I know that's not why it was done, but you know, you don't go from competing head-to-head with Max Verstappen, currently the greatest driver on the grid, in 2021, to not knowing how to drive in 2022. It just doesn't happen. No. Obviously, I know he had like mental struggles, you know, he probably had a big mental battle coming back from 2021, but you don't lose your pace. And that might be different now, because that was a long time ago. But these sort of calls have been coming since 2022.
But we've seen performances that still give us some hope in the sense of Silverstone last year, Belgium, you know, China. We still see that Lewis Hamilton has
even it. Even like COTA 2023, I know the car got disqualified, but like that performance was just, if you give him the car, he will extract the maximum from it. And he will perform. And like I say, this is not a direct comparison to Charles Leclerc where I'm saying like, give Lewis the car and he'll go and win the championship. Give them both the car and you'll have two title contenders going head to head to the very end of the season.
I think both of us are very surprised of how bad Ferrari are, especially how Ferrari ended 2024.
Yeah, but they changed their whole car.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? I mean, the argument was is that they had extracted like 99% of the performance out of it. I just don't understand how that's possible. And then, you know, they've gone backwards. Mm. They have. And it's seeming like it's just going to be a disaster season for Ferrari.
I mean, we're only six races in, but it's not looking...
It's going to be incredibly difficult to turn it around now. Yeah. And I know it's happened before, but it doesn't happen often.
No.
So,
especially with the news that Ferrari are unlikely to bring significant updates at the next few rounds, while their rivals will be bringing updates.
Welcome to Q2.
It is. It's going to be a long season as a Lewis fan and a Ferrari fan this year.
Yeah. But hey, and a Ferrari fans.
Ferrari fans are used to this, though, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think as Mercedes fans, we, or, you know, formerly Mercedes fans following Lewis Hamilton, I think we're kind of used to it now anyway.
I feel like ex-Mercedes fans and now Ferrari fans, we're like united. We our pain is being shared together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Yuki Tsunoda has received a positive report card from Red Bull Racing after his first few weekends at the team. Chief engineer Paul Monahan describing him as a good member who is settling in really well so far.
We should have got the job in the first place.
Agree. Monahan said he came in, he's been forthright in his feedback, he's been courteous, he's been a good team member, he's been a little bit unlucky at times, lucky at others, he's finding his feet. Monahan said he's not afraid to speak his mind. He states what he wants and what he doesn't like, which is good. He is in a team. He's a good member of it and he'll be fine. And I agree. You know, he hasn't set the world alight since he's come in, but he is...
We also have to remember that he didn't have the upgraded floor, was it?
Yeah,
that Max Verstappen had. Yeah, so...
He's doing okay.
He's doing okay. And that's, I'm going to reiterate what I said the other week. I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't think Yuki should be doing better. But I also think he could be doing a lot worse, and he probably needs a little bit more time, but he does need to start. I want to see him start competing with the Mercedes, with the Ferrari. He needs to be up there.
Yeah. And I think
this next month is going to be critical for the rest of his season, because yeah. I think he needs to start being in the mix.
This triple header coming up, I think come the end of this triple header, would have been what? He would have done 7 races with them by then. You should be expecting to see some improvements in his results. Yeah. But that comes hand in hand with Red Bull being consistent, Max Verstappen still doing well. But obviously, as soon as you see Max Verstappen drop
if down... If you see Max drop off, then you're going to expect a Yuki drop off, yeah. Right? But they... You know, Max has... And Max is a special driver. He's set aside from the rest. But you saw Max able to get a pole position, right?
Yeah.
I don't expect Yuki Tsunoda to be able to get that. But if Max is able to get pole, I do expect to see Yuki sort of second row.
Okay, answer me this then. Yuki Tsunoda, he'll have the rest of the season.
Yeah.
What will be classed as a successful season for Yuki Tsunoda? Is that maybe getting a couple of podiums, or is that...
He definitely needs a couple of podiums under his belt. And he needs to... With the car they've got, let's assume it stays this sort of way for the rest of the season. For me, he needs to be getting at least P5, P6 in the championship. He needs to be beating the Ferraris. Hmm. Because there's... You know, I certainly don't buy into the rumours that the Red Bull is a bad car. I also don't buy into the fact that it's anywhere near the McLaren. I think it's only near the McLaren when you've got Max Verstappen driving it. However, if Max is able to take it there, you've got to think baseline, it's probably here and it sits around the Mercedes. Yuki has to be there.
No, agree. Do let us know. What is classed as a successful season for Yuki Tsunoda? Right. Driver ratings for the new F1 25 yeah. game have been released. I'm wondering if I do this as a bit of a quiz for you.
Go on then.
So we'll start from P1 down to P20, all right? So obviously, I'll give you the first one.
I mean, I know the first one. Come on, it's Max.
And he's got a rating of 95. So number two.
It's warranted, by the way.
I was expecting that to be probably a bit higher for Max.
It could easily.
Yeah. I've basically told you number
Lando
two.
Norris.
91.
He did come second in the championship last year.
Who's third? And the rating is 91. But
it should be Lewis.
So you're saying Lewis Hamilton?
I know it's not.
Who is it?
It's going to be someone, Charles Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc is P3 with 91. A rating
so how
of...
is Charles further higher than Oscar?
Well, this is what surprises me, and this is what we'll discuss on the second. P4 with 90 rating.
Oscar.
George.
Oh, okay. No, that's probably a fair one.
Yep. P5 with a rating of 90.
Wait, but how... Is Lewis 90?
No.
But how is George then 90?
Let's just go through this.
Lewis won two races last year.
Yeah, let's just go through this. P5. Who's P5 with a rating of 90?
Oscar.
Carlos Sainz.
Quicker than Oscar?
Yep. Rating in P6 with a rating of 89.
Lewis.
Then,
I don't understand how George is 90 and Lewis is 89. But like, I think that's purely because his expected standard is so high and he's not near it.
Yeah. P7 with a rating of 88.
That's got to be Oscar.
No. Fernando Alonso.
Right. Lewis Hamilton won two races, was in a, you know, Fernando Alonso hasn't been in a championship battle since 2012. How are we...
So he's got his experience as 99, which, yeah, I can kind of understand.
That's fair. He's
I
been in the sport since, what, 2001?
Yeah. Awareness is 81, pace is 87. Right, okay, so P8.
It has to be Oscar Piastri.
With 87.
Yeah, that seems harsh.
That is harsh. That's... I would, you know, he won the Constructors last year.
Yeah, it seems harsh.
P9 with 86.
Ooh. 86. Alex Albon.
No, Pierre Gasly. P10 with 85.
Alex Albon.
Esteban Ocon. P11 with 84.
Wait, higher than Alex Albon.
P11 with 84.
Alex Albon.
Nico Hülkenberg.
Okay, look, 84 for Hulk, I don't mind. I think he's quick, but... I think he should be on the same level as Gasly.
P12 with 83.
It's got to be Albon.
It is Albon. P13 with 82.
Oh, P13 with 82. Kimi Antonelli?
Yuki Tsunoda.
Okay, that's probably fair. But where is Kimi in all this?
We'll get there. P14 with a rating of 80.
Kimi.
Liam Lawson. P15 with a rating of 78.
Kimi.
Lance Stroll.
Higher than Kimi Antonelli.
P16 with a rating of 74.
Kimi Antonelli.
Oliver Bearman. P17 with 74. This one is mad.
Okay, so it's not Kimi. So, Jack Doohan.
Bortoletto.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Rating of 73.
Kimi Antonelli.
Jack Doohan.
Wait, is Kimi like the lowest rated driver?
No, P19 with 72.
Okay. So look, here's my logic here. It's got to be Isaac Hadjar because Isaac Hadjar finished second in the F2 championship. So it's Isaac Hadjar.
Kimi Antonelli.
So, right, this is just messed up.
P20 with 68. 4 points different from... P19 is Isaac Hadjar.
But if this is how we're rating it, then Isaac Hadjar should be ahead of Ollie Bearman, Antonelli,
yep,
and Jack Doohan.
But how is... I understand Bortoletto, he won the F2 championship. Get that, okay?
Yeah, but Isaac Hadjar also went to the very last race with him on that. So why are they not at least matched?
It makes no sense to me.
And then you've got Kimi Antonelli, who's got a seat at Mercedes all the way down at 72.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Oscar Piastri is, for me, that's the biggest robbery. I mean, you've got Fernando Alonso ahead of you. I mean, I'm a Lewis fan, but I would even say Oscar Piastri, who won the Constructors, should be ahead of Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't want it, but I'm just saying.
I think Lewis is a bit too low, but I think Piastri is way too low there.
Yeah. Mental. Do let us know what your thoughts are on that.
What are they going to do if he wins the championship? Put him up to 88?
Oh, yeah. He'd be just ahead of Fernando Alonso.
It's a joke.
Right, let's talk about Imola, shall we? It's your part.
Oh, this is... my part.
Yeah.
I was just filling this word
is,
count.
This is the only thing that Luke has to contribute all week is actually going on to the BoxBox app, which you can download now, and going through and tell us the facts for Imola.
Here it is. You can see the BoxBox app right there. Now, How many kilometres long do you think it is?
5.7.
4.9 kilometres, 63 laps, 19 turns, 356.4 kilometres per hour top speed. Do you reckon we'll break that this weekend?
Yeah.
12 metres, 12 and a half metres of elevation. And we are back to normal sort of times for us here in the UK. We've got practice at 12.30, practice 2 at 4pm, practice 3 at 11.30am on the Saturday, and then quali at 3pm. We've then got the race at 2pm on the Sunday. But
I did like the Miami race time, though.
Yeah, it's quite nice. It's nice. I do like an evening one. Mm. It is nice. Who's the most successful constructor here at Imola?
McLaren?
Williams.
Really?
Yeah. Most successful driver?
Michael Schumacher.
That's true.
Is it?
I mean, the thing is, most successful driver, you would tend to go one of two people. It's either Michael or Lewis. Mm.
Because that's why my initial thought was maybe, you know,
I feel like Lewis has never actually been that great at Imola.
No,
it's definitely not one of his, in my opinion, like most consistent tracks. Although, you know, he holds the race lap record.
Yep.
Of a 1:15.4. But yeah, look, Imola is one of those tracks where I think it's a great track to watch. It's not. I mean that from the basis that, like, a lap around the track looks really good. It's not the best racing track.
No, I mean, look, the ones that stand out for me recently, obviously, was 21. Obviously, yeah. With Max winning, Lewis going off, the red flag, all of that stuff. Lewis somehow coming back to finish P2. Obviously, you look at last year with the battle of Lando chasing down Max towards. Max did a great job to hold Lando off. So we have some good racing, and I'm expecting that this weekend. But Luke, and play at home as well. Let's not play at home, but do drop a comment and let us know. Who is your top three for this weekend's Imola Grand Prix?
Lando Norris.
Oh my God, okay.
Oscar Piastri. George Russell.
Oh.
Mr. P3. He'll be there.
He'll be, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Something will happen.
All right.
Max will be coming around the last corner, last lap. Ty will go. Mm. George won't even be P4. He'll be P8. But Max's tyre falls off, hits everyone else, and George just drives through. That's what will happen. It'll be something like that. It'll be like he's just like placed in P3 by the hand of God.
he somehow always manages to get that. My top three. I'm going to go for Oscar Piastri. Lando Norris, Max Verstappen. I would not be surprised even if Max would finish P2.
Where are the Ferraris this weekend?
P6, P7.
You reckon still off the Mercedes?
I still think if they're not bringing any upgrades and the other teams around them are, my money would be that the Williams potentially would still be stronger, the Mercedes would still be stronger.
Yeah, the Williams is...
Yeah.
Good.
So I am not expecting big things from Ferrari this weekend. I hope I'm pleasantly... I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, do drop a comment. Do let us know who is your top three. Right. Shall we get into a few little fan questions?
Yes. At the end of every single show, we do go through all your questions that you submit. Most of these are submitted via Instagram. So make sure you follow us there at BoxBoxPod to get involved every week because we like this part of the show.
This is a good one. Who would you rank as the top three team principals in F1?
Christian Horner has to be number one. Yeah. I'm going to go with obviously ones that are currently...
Yeah, no, ones that are on the grid at the moment.
Look, it might seem like a cop-out, but it's got to be then... I mean, look, at the currently, it's got to be Zach Brown. Hmm. At number two, he's really turned that that McLaren team around. You know, McLaren haven't been anywhere near it since Lewis left the team. Mm. And
well, Brown and Stella.
Well, obviously, and it's always confusing because Zach Brown is CEO, Andrea Stella is principal. So, but let's say, okay, Andrea Stella. Sorry, purists. But yeah, you know, what the two of them have done to turn that team around is unbelievable. And the fact that they were able to do it against a Red Bull team that were firing on all cylinders and had really dominated this era of cars is impressive, because no one was able to do it to Mercedes.
No.
And I know Max went and won the championship, controversially, but Mercedes still retained that that constructors. And yeah, you know, ultimately, I guess from a team principal perspective, that's got to be the most important thing. So they've got to go there. And then Toto Wolff, you know, I know I'm looking at recency as well, but like, Mercedes have actually sort of come back this season. They've had to deal with losing Lewis Hamilton. They took a punt on Kimi Antonelli. I admire that. But also, it wasn't that long ago that they were winning their eighth Constructors' Championship in a row. So I think an honorary mention would go to Ayo Komatsu at the moment, who has done really well. And James Vowles is well in that conversation. Yeah. And you could argue that maybe, you know, if we did apply sort of like recency bias, you could put him in that third place.
Yeah.
Ahead of Toto Wolff, especially if you look to this new era of cars. James Vowles hasn't been in it that long, but what he's done with that Williams team is super impressive. But yeah, for me, Christian Horner is still the number one.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that top three, and I would agree with the honourable mentions, because they would be my ones. Komatsu, I think, has done a brilliant job with Haas to turn it around, especially after, you know, having such a personality in the team like Günther Steiner, to then come in and make the team your own and get a bit more stability and change drivers. I think he's done a fantastic job. But James Vowles, as I've said from the beginning, I like what he's doing. The fact he managed to get someone like Carlos Sainz in, he's building that Williams team. He's got the respect from his workforce there. And you really see that. And yeah, I think he's done a phenomenal job. So yeah, for me, it's probably easier to pick a top five. And the mad thing is, you're not even including Fred Vasseur in that. And I don't think you should at this moment in time, because those Ferraris are pretty woeful.
Yeah, you know, I think if we were talking towards the end of last season, I would have had Fred in there, because you would have said, yeah, they've really developed this Ferrari incredibly. They've acquired a seven-time world champion in Lewis Hamilton, lured him away from his beloved Mercedes. You would have thought, yeah, everything is going in the right direction, and unfortunately, it's just not. No. It's just not kicked on this year.
Nathan Doc Gibson has asked, what is your opinion on Kimi Antonelli's future in F1? As he has been incredible recently. For me, I genuinely believe, and I'm going to say this now, I do think he is a future world champion. I see a lot of class in him. I see a lot of good traits of a champion in Kimi Antonelli. Don't get me wrong, I don't think it would be for a few years, but I do think if put him in a good car, and once with the experience, I do think he could go on and win a championship.
I think for me, he's just a bit too young for me to determine that he's going to be a future world champion, because I think we tend to do this as sports fans. You see it in football, right? The comparison is, oh, he's a future Ballon d'Or winner, or he'll get a big move, or, you know, it's the same in racing. And Kimi Antonelli has looked very good, and he's very young, but he's not. If he had come in, he was outperforming George Russell, and he looked like the stronger man. And I'm not saying he won't be, because he's very young. And give it a season or two, he may well be. And then we can have this conversation again. But I do feel like F1 fans love to get ahead of themselves, as all sports fans do. Like, I am exactly the same. I'm trying to look at this sort of like level-headedly. I think he hasn't done anything at the moment to prove to me why he's a future world champion. But he hasn't done anything to prove to me that he's not capable of getting there. So he's kind of performing, I think, exactly how we all expected.
Yeah.
He's doing well.
Do let us know, is Kimi Antonelli a future world champion? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Right. Which races will you be attending? Well, actually, there is nothing booked. I don't have anything booked this year. You don't have anything booked. Obviously, I went to Spa last year. I would kind of like to go to Spa again this year, but I haven't got anything booked. I'm still discussing whether I'll go to Abu Dhabi at the end of the year.
Oh, nice. Oh, because you've got family out
I've got
there.
Family in Dubai, so I can go along. But still discussing whether I'll do that. You haven't got anything booked in, have you?
No, I think if I do it, it would just be a bit more impromptu. Like, I think I'll probably, you know, if I can get tickets to a race in like a couple of weeks or something, for example, I would just be like, oh, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
It's also like a bit difficult, like going away. I've got like commitments on like all fronts that I think it would just need to be a little bit more spontaneous. Unless, and clip this and put it out there, someone wants to take me to Silverstone. Any brand wants to... And Matt, of course. Matt.
I was not in his thought process at all then when he said that.
But...
Be honest, was I...
But if you've only got one ticket, I'd like, fine, I'll take it.
Be honest here. When you were saying that statement, right?
Well, not until I looked to my left and realised that you were still sitting there. Yeah, that's when I thought of you.
See, thank you. I appreciate it. At least you thought of me. That's nice. Do let us know what races you go into this year as well. And that is the end of the podcast. And actually, that's probably our shortest podcast we've done in a long time.
And still an hour's long. So an hour's long? An hour long? An hour's long podcast. I don't know. Who cares?
But do check us out on all social media. We'll be posting all week leading up to race week. And also we'll be putting clips out at the weekend for the Imola Grand Prix. We'll be back next week reviewing the Imola Grand Prix and looking ahead to Monaco.
Yes.
I love a triple header. Yes. But yeah, do drop a comment.
Remember,
if you're watching.
The week after Monaco.
Yeah.
I'm not here.
Okay. There you go.
I'm in Italy, annoyingly. Because if I'd been there the week before, I could have gone to the Imola Grand Prix.
Doesn't plan it very well.
Because it's the bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, there you go. Just put that in your diary. But yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, hit like button, subscribe if you're new. Do drop a comment. We do really appreciate it. Also, if you're watching on Spotify, you can also leave comments as well.
Yeah,
do leave us a rating.
If you're watching on Spotify, good luck with that.
Yeah. Apparently, you can watch podcasts on Spotify.
If you upload a video there.
Yeah.
I actually don't know how to do that. People always request it for waffling.
We don't have a clue how to do it.
Well, it's not my job.
Right, have a good week and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.